It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Ask Ross is brought to you by the 409tailgateclub.com. 409 Tailgate Clubs, they're announcing they will be in Berwick on Saturday, July 27th for a barbecue and wine event at the Freese Farm Winery to benefit Penn State's chapter of Uplifting Athletes. Obviously, some great barbecue and great wine. There's also beer from the Berwick Brewery, which I'm familiar with, by the way. There'll be music, and you can go to tailgatewine.com. Right on the front page there, you'll see a button for the event, and that will take you to all the details. Andy, you were there last year. Have a good time?
I had a great time. My wife had a good time as well. I liked the Berwick beer.
Okay.
I'm just going to say
But then who doesn't? You going to be there this year?
I will be there this year.
So if you attend, you'll get to talk to our own Andrew P. Shea.
Gentlemen, nice.
Are you ready for the questions of the week?
Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to start with Paul from Harrisburg, who starts out with Almighty Ross.
Always a good start.
He references the Lift for Life, and he wants to know, in your opinion, do you feel higher total reps by this group, by the linemen, will equal a higher win total for the year? I guess I'll rephrase that.
They're
how
stronger.
Important is it? I'll give the rest of his question. Lastly, Ross, what was your bench total as a senior in high school, senior in college, and your last year in the pros? I'm sure Andy will enjoy hearing all these numbers. Thanks, Ross. I look forward to hearing Andy, Bob, and yourself busting on each other every week.
So it was 225 max. It was 225 max was what they were doing.
And the offensive line did more reps than they did a year ago?
They did.
Okay.
The redshirt freshman did very well.
Okay. So I have to say this in all sincerity. I couldn't care less.
Right.
It has almost nothing. Like, you want everybody to get stronger. You want everybody to be as strong as possible. But I really don't care. Especially bench press. Let me just tell you, as an offensive lineman, I would say the number one most important muscle is your quads and butt, just in terms of your lower body power. And then I'd say maybe your forearms and like hand grip strength, because once you get into a defender to be able to grab them and hold them inside, which is legal. I mean, I played football for 18 years. I'm not sure I ever remember as an offensive lineman having the guy up against my chest and pressing him off of me. You want to be strong.
Correct.
But it just doesn't matter. And I've said this before on the show, I think. I know multiple guys that could barely bench 315, which is not a lot for NFL offensive linemen, who were awesome. They would slice and dice you with their hands. Their lower body was so quick and powerful. I know multiple guys that could bench press 600 pounds that were terrible, absolutely terrible. So the answer to the question is it means nothing to me, other than you could argue maybe it's a work ethic sign. Like at the NFL, if a guy's 225 bench press number is really low, that's actually a red flag in terms of work ethic. Like, he's been in college for 3 or 4 years. Like, what's he been doing? More so than it is they're concerned about his playing strength. For me, my last lifting test in high school, I got 300-pound bench press. In college, I don't really remember. I do remember this. Now I had a hernia surgery. So this is a little skewed, but I think I got 22 bench reps at 225. But I was always actually better at repping than I was at heavyweight.
Heavyweight.
So I probably could have gotten like 25 reps, maybe 26, if I hadn't been coming off the hernia. But for what you actually want to do in a game, you just want to see how much you can do once. It doesn't matter how many times you do 225. And then the NFL, I think the strongest sets I ever remember is it's funny, my rookie year with the Redskins, not the end of my NFL, the end of my NFL career, I was not that strong. That's the thing people don't realize. The NFL, you get weaker, not stronger, because the season and you're beat up and whatever. But I remember they had us using dumbbells with the Redskins my rookie year, and I was using like heavy dumbbells, Andy. I hadn't done barbell work in like months, but for some reason, when you do dumbbells that much, when I went to a barbell, it just seemed so much easier.
It was the balance.
And it was like I didn't have to balance right. it. I didn't have those. So I did like 375 for four. It's probably my best set ever. 375 for four, something like that, which is not great. Like I think I did 380 once, but I never put more on a bar than that.
Okay. May not be much for an NFL guy, but I'm impressed, Ross. All right. Let's go with Eric from Carmel, Indiana. What's a better predictor of success on the field for an incoming player? Raw potential they possess when they arrive, or their work ethic and ability to learn the position quickly?
A better indicator of success?
Yes.
When they first get there?
Yes. For an incoming football player, is it raw potential or is it the work ethic? I'm not sure you can put
one over the other. If they're already there, that means they already have a decent amount of talent. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. So I'll take the work ethic and the ability to learn at that point. In other words, I'll take the guy that loves football and is a diehard. So here's how I'm going to try to rephrase his question for something that makes a little more sense in my mind. Would you rather have a guy that's a 9 ability and a 5 work ethic, or a 9 or 10 work ethic and if they're at Penn State, they're still like a 7 ability? I'll take the latter. I'll take the kid that got a scholarship to Penn State, but he comes in and shows right away and off the charts work ethic and ability to learn, because it's still a development sport. I mean, you still have to work at it and get better over time and really learn your craft. So I'll take the work ethic kid.
All right. Next up, Mike from Harrisburg. I'm not going to ask the first part of his question, but you'll understand quickly why I asked the second part. Ross, as a professional broadcaster who cares about this product, can you please identify the guilty party for having their phone on vibrate during the broadcast? That person must be very popular or have sports notifications turned on. I will offer a pizza if you identify who the guilty party is. And by the way, if it's you, you're allowed to blame it on an intern.
So
this is all about the pizza.
Yeah, what I gotta know first of all what the pizza is.
He says Grandma Pizza. Is that a place locally?
Have you heard of that? Grandma
no, I
Pizza?
Have not.
I'm not familiar with that.
Mike, I like pepperoni.
I like pepperoni too. Although you know what? You know what I've been doing lately? Sometimes I'm getting ham.
I love
ham on my pizza. You know why? I really like ham, and it's a lot less greasier.
It's the salt, and it gives you that salty because the cheese is sweet.
Yeah.
It gives you that salty sweet combo.
I'm really into ham as a topping these days. Have you ever had it?
Oh my God, yeah. Who wouldn't like ham, though?
Well, I'm saying I prefer it over pepperoni.
Okay.
I've been a pepperoni guy my whole life.
Mike, we're going to adjust we want ham on the pizza, but first we need to blame someone. I suggest since he's not here, we blame Flounders for the phones going off. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think mine has buzzed before. I know mine has buzzed before.
Jim, yours has rang.
But not like consistently mine buzzing. Like mine has maybe buzzed once or twice.
Mine didn't buzz. It actually rang, so...
I keep mine on silent all the time.
Okay, we're going to go with
phone.
Flounders is the person we're going to blame. So, Mike, we want the pizza with ham. Please get in touch with me,
we will
make the arrangements.
He needs to come and bring it one day. Drop it off.
Or
bring it, whatever.
Get a hold of me, Mike, and we will make those arrangements. All right. Next up, Dominic from Cranberry Township. Ross, really appreciate the opportunity to listen to you. Can you explain to me the difference between Cover 2, Tampa 2, and Cover 3, and under what circumstances would each be most appropriate?
Okay. Cover 3 is 3 deep, as it would indicate. 3 deep, 4 under. Cover 2 is unique because it's actually the corners are going to be up near the line of scrimmage. So it's designed to really try to take away the underneath stuff or to be able to rally to it right away. Tampa 2, the middle linebacker gets such depth that it almost creates cover 3. So anytime you hear that, like cover 4 is 4 deep, cover 2 is 2 deep, cover 3 is 3 deep, and the other guys, the numbers you don't hear, are underneath defenders, right? So if it's cover 2, you're going to have 5 underneath defenders, really. If it's cover 3, you'll have 4. If it's cover 4, you have 3 underneath defenders. Tampa 2, the middle linebacker gets such depth that he actually acts as the middle of the middle of the field defender. So Tampa 2 is more similar to cover 3 than it is cover 2. You don't see as much cover 2 anymore. It seems like a lot of people play cover 3 deep, and they have the corners. It's almost hard to tell sometimes whether it's man-to-man or whether it's zone, because they have those deep – think of like Seattle, right? That was really popular for a while. It's cover 3, but you have the corners basically locked in playing man unless somebody's in the deep third of their zone. So then they'd have to drop back. But otherwise, they're up on that edge guy when it's appropriate. That's a tough one to answer because –
I think he's looking like down in distance.
Yeah, you know? I think most teams kind of do what they do. And then the offense, you know, it's really hard to master a lot of different coverages because there are nuances of those coverages. And also, when you really get good is when you know, like Andy's a Bucks fan, when you know the weaknesses of your defense and you know that the offense knows your weaknesses and you play to those. Right, so like the Tampa guys, the Bucks guys, they were so good that they knew their weaknesses, but they also knew that that's what the offense was going to attack. So they were able to
counter
account for that because it was like you outside set a guy knowing he's going to go inside, so you outside set and boom, you know he's coming inside. I'm going to say the pizza question.
The pizza question.
Anyone offering me food, I will vote for them.
Yeah.
You offer up a pizza, you have a good chance to win. And here's how it's going to work. I believe that was Mike in Harrisburg. You get your prize when you bring the pizza.
Nice.
So
nice.
Make the
that
exchange,
is good.
All right. All right. That's it for quarter number 3. Stick around for quarter number 4.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.